Have you noticed? Just think about what I'm going to say. Think about the saying, we know more than we do. We know more than we do. We know a lot of things, but they don't really, they don't affect our lives. They don't change our lives. We just store up knowledge. We just store up sayings. We just store up thoughts. Well, that's a good thought. I'll write it down. But it doesn't really, we don't live it. It doesn't affect our lives. God has had us camp out in John 14 for a while. And somebody told me, matter of fact, a couple of somebody's told me, matter of fact, several somebody told me, that John 14 is really just amazing to them, and they're reading it like all the time. One person told me they can't even go a day without reading it. They feel like if they do, something's wrong in their life. Now that we've been reading John 14 for so many weeks. But what if God, what does it matter if we have a dynamic sermon, hear all these points, we learn, hear all this stuff, but it doesn't profit us and we don't live it? What good does it do us to know something if we're not living it? We give mental assent. We nod our heads. We might even say amen. But we don't live it. So God said, let's slow way down. Have you noticed what he's been doing with us on the book of Revelation? Sue's not like a person. She keeps wanting to get ahead. And God keeps slowing her down, pulling the reins back. Whoa, Sue. Whoa. Let's go a little deeper here. There's more that needs to be seen. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, you cannot plumb the depths of God. We can't get to the bottom of what all God knows. But we know a lot of things. But there's so much more. So I believe God has us slowing down in John 14 for a reason. This morning I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what do you want? As I turn to John 14, I'm like, okay. As I, you want me to teach him what I've already written down or something? He said, why don't you just start with verse 1? Just start reading. It's like, should I look at my notes? He goes, no, just start reading. I go, okay, I think I've read this, but okay, I'll read it. So he goes, let not your heart be troubled. Now, you would think we've already read this, talked about it, did that. But there's a reason God's slowing us down. Think about what I'm saying. There is a reason God is doing what he's doing in your life right now. There's a reason God is working in your life the way he is. There's a reason that things are not going the way you think they ought to be going. There's a reason that you're sitting there. There's a reason that you're waiting. There's a reason that you're working where you're working. There's a reason that you have the boss you do. There's a reason that you're living where you're living. There is a reason. God's ways and thoughts are not ours. Isaiah 55:8-9. God's ways and thoughts are not ours. So let's look at what Jesus says. Let not your heart be troubled. You know Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7? By the way, have you ever heard me say you ought to memorize this verse?
Yes, sir.
Have you done it? Don't answer. Have you done it? Whatever verse, through the years that we've known each other. Have you ever heard me every now and then say you ought to memorize this verse? Then have you done it? Right. There's a reason that God would have me say that. And there's two passages here that I really think you need to memorize that. Maybe more, but Philippians 4:6-7. God says, he's saying the same thing as he's saying in John 14. Be careful, be full of care for nothing. But in everything, see over here in John 14, he just says, let not your heart be troubled. But in Philippians, he's expanding on it and giving us how to not let our heart be troubled. Be full of care for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So he's saying, pray with thanksgiving. Supplicate means to petition, to pray, to request. Could even mean to beg. So in everything, by prayer and petition or request, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And what's going to happen? What will follow is, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, the peace of God, which you cannot explain, shall keep, they shall guard, watch over you, and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your mind, your thoughts, your heart will remain in the peace of God. You pray about everything. Yeah, I gave the illustration earlier yesterday. Three women were standing in our kitchen talking, and they went, oh, in this open house, we hoped that there was not going to be rain. And the weather said it might rain later in the afternoon or in the evening. But now the weather app shows that it might rain earlier. And one of my grandsons said, why don't we pray? And there was a moment of silence. They all looked at him and they went right back to talking. Now, I am not condemning them or embarrassing them. That's not my intent. My intent is that's how we all live. The Bible says be instant in prayer. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That means to be in a constant attitude of prayer. Men are always to pray and not to think. Luke 18:1, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It means whatever comes up, pray about it. Immediately commit it into his hands. So Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your heart, your mind and your heart, your mind and your feelings to be troubled. He says, let me remind you, I am right here. He said, don't stay focused on the troubles. Isaiah 26:3, another verse you ought to memorize. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How do I stay in perfect peace? Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When we keep our minds stayed on him, focused on him, because we trust in him, we will live, remain. God says, I will keep you in perfect peace when you keep your mind stayed on me because you're trusted in me. He said, Peter, when you take your eyes off me, you're going to sink because you put your eyes on the waves. He said, what are you focused on? Don't stay focused on the troubles. We are going to have troubles. Don't stay focused on them. Take them to Jesus. Is there anything you can do about it? No. Somebody in church this morning said, I was talking about you at the men's group on Thursday. I said, great, nothing I can do about it. Whether it's good or bad. What am I going to do? Worry about it? Some people have such an inferiority complex that when they watch a football game, every time something the team huddles up, they think they're talking about it. You know? What if they are? Is there anything you can do about it? Take it to God. Don't stay focused on the troubles. You are going to have troubles. But don't stay focused on them. He says, commit them unto Him. Psalm 37:5. I'm not going to tell you every verse, but there's another verse I've memorized. Really? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Did anybody notice that it did not rain yesterday? And it didn't rain until way probably into the nighttime? And that's exactly what I prayed with the judge yesterday. When I got through praying, I said, would you like to pray? And he said, you covered it all, Bubba. He said, there's nothing else to say. And that's what I said. When you pray, pray specifically, by the way. Tell God exactly what you want. God, I do not want it to rain during our meeting, and I want it to rain well after, so nobody gets wet, you know, and we can have a good meeting. I prayed specifically. I had a daughter and her husband who came by motorcycle from the other side of the state to this meeting, this open house. I didn't want it to rain on them. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. First of all, I am right here. I didn't leave you. I know what you're going through, Judy. I know what you're going through, Rick. Don't stay focused on the troubles. Yes, we got troubles, but don't stay focused on them. I want you to stay focused on me. Commit them unto me. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He got up from the dead. You think He can take care of these troubles you have? Is it harder than raising the dead? I'm sorry.
No.
And it says, and He shall bring it to pass. Remember, they didn't come to stay, they came to pass.
Thank you, Jesus.
Are we focused on the ways or Jesus? When we focus on Jesus, we walk on the ways of the troubles. Who do we really believe Jesus is? Mark 4:38-41. I told you what I was going to have you memorize all of this one. I'm not telling you to memorize, but. And He was in the hinder or rear part of the ship, asleep on the hook. And they awake Him and say to Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, you may not speak in old English and say to God, carest thou not that I perish? But have you not thought that? God, don't you care what I'm going through? Why don't you take care of me? I'm sorry, are you still alive? I'm sorry, did you go without a meal? I'm sorry, you have a roof over your head, maybe come up with, but you have one. We live like this. Carest thou not that we perish, Master? We want to blame God. Because we don't want to, we are more concerned with our comfort zone. God is more concerned with our character. He cares about your comfort zone. But He'll mess with your comfort zone to develop your character.
Yes.
Because God, isn't that what you prayed? I want to be like you, Jesus.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, but we want it to happen with velvet around us while we're driving a Cadillac, you know, and eating bonbons and watching TV, you know. I'm sorry. That's not, it says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It said what they did to the master, they're going to do to the servant. We're going to go through these things. In Job it says, a man is born into troubles. As the sparks fly upward, so a man is born into troubles. I think the top reads, if I remember. So here they are, out on the water, the disciples. Jesus is sleeping. That's what we think God's doing. Sleeping. But if you read Psalm 121, it says he doesn't sleep.
Right.
And I wrote in that psalm one time in my Bible, if God's going to stay awake, I don't need to worry about my trouble. In Psalm 121, it says he slumbereth not. If God's going to stay awake all night, then I don't need to stay up all night worrying. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Anyway, go on and read that psalm when you have a chance. So they say, Master, perish thou not that we perish? And Jesus got up, yawned, then rebuked the wind. Hey, wind, calm down. Stop winding. And said unto the sea,
stop winding.
Said unto the sea, peace, be still. He had to listen to you first. I know who did that one. Alright, stop winding. Okay. Peace. Said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. It quit winding. And there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are ye so fearful? And then he said, how is it that you have no faith? Now Jesus is being kind, but he's trying to bring their attention to something, because without faith, which he's saying they are here, without faith it's impossible to please them. They were living in worry and fear. But perfect love, mature love, knowing I can trust God no matter what I see, think, feel, or what others are saying or doing. No matter what I'm going through, okay, the wind's blowing, and yep, this is scary, but then there's Jesus. Okay, I'm right here. John chapter 10, 28, 29, I'm in your hand. No man can pluck me out of your hand. And we're in the Father's hand. No man can take us out of his hand. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Like, for crying out loud, the Trinity's got me. What am I worried about? Why are you so fearful? He's asking so we'll consider. Oh, because I'm trusting in the ways instead of trusting in you. Because I trusted in something. I'm worried about something I can't do anything about. You get that? I'm worried about something I can't do anything about. God keeps putting me in the same situation. In my business, with y'all, with other things. There, like the guy said this morning, I was talking about you this week, and I said, that's fine, there's nothing I can do about it. What am I going to do, worry about it? Am I going to go to the negative and start worrying about what he was saying? That's between him and God. I shouldn't worry about what I can't control.
What we do.
And Jesus is saying here, don't allow your heart to be troubled. Why are you so fearful? And then he says, how is it that you have no faith? Because what we've done, if you can look at me, in computer, it's 0101, if you know what I'm talking about. We are either clicked onto Jesus or we're clicked onto the problem. Are we focused on the problem or focused on Jesus? Because if we're focused on Jesus, he's bigger than the need we have. He can handle it. And confusion only comes when we consider any other thing than what he said. He said, I'm bigger than any need you have. We've talked about this, right? You're in my hand. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But I'm walking through the shadow of death. Shadow. Shadows can't hurt us, but we get afraid of them. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. John 14:27. My peace I give unto you. I'm thinking God's wanting to go forward. How long have you been in the first 7 or 10 verses of John 14? But he says, let not your heart be troubled. Now, God knows what's coming, doesn't he?
Yes.
I wonder if he's preparing us.
He's trying to.
And then he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, who do you think I am? He said, I'm God. I'm equating myself to God the Father and saying, if you believe in him, believe in me. But if you're not believing in him, you're not going to believe in me either. And he says, believe, put the word trust or depend. Depend on me. You depend on God, you can depend on me. And you see, Jesus says, God, I can't say those words. I don't tell you to teach you to depend on me. I've said so many times, if you expect me to take care of you or be better than you, I promise I'll let you down. I'm a good example of the rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. Yes, I'm a saint. I have a covenant with God by sacrifice. Yes, I'm forgiven. And yet I know my nature outside of him. Though he's given me his nature, I still have a choice, moment by moment, where I'm going to live, just like you did. And I need to be aware of my desperate need for him to depend on him. Because when I don't realize how needy I am, I don't depend on him, and he doesn't live through me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, there's room for all of you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I want you to notice as we read today that Jesus, it's all about intimacy. He's talking to us as dear friends. He says, I don't want your heart to be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'll take care of you. I'm right here. I got it. I got it. Give it to me. Whoops. I don't got it because you won't give it to me. But I'm right here. And I wait till you give it to me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. By the way, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm letting you know. Thanks for including this, Jesus. Thank you for telling us this. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for making it personal, Jesus. Thank you that you also let us know if it wasn't this way, that you'd clue us in. Now look at this. I go to prepare a place for you. He says, I'm talking to you. Now I want you to put your name in there. I'm talking to you, Roxanne. I'm talking to you, John. I'm talking to you, DBJ. I go to prepare a place for you, DBJ. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he says, I'm going to come again. God bless you. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He says, I want you to be where I am. He says, I'm going to go, but I'm going to come back. Don't worry. I'm going to come back. And I'm going to receive you, take you unto myself, put my arm around you, so that where I am there, you may be also. I want you to notice those eight words. That where I am, there ye may be. He didn't say there ye shall be. There ye may be. It's up to you. He's saying that's my desire. My desire is that you would be where I am. He said, but I'm not forcing you. I'm not making you. I'm not dragging you. There you may be. He said, we're talking about intimacy here. We're talking about sweet fellowship together. And then he says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. He said, I am leading. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, now watch this, I am the way. He said, where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. He said, we don't know where you're going, Thomas. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. You see, if you're with him, you're there. He said, to be with him is the way of where he's going. All you got to do is be with him. If I said, I'm going to go to Oklahoma, and Jackson was like, oh, Papa, I don't want you to go to Oklahoma. And I go, he says, because I'm here. And I go, well, Jackson, would you like to get the truck and go with me? Well, yeah. Then he's with me, right? I am the way for him to get where I'm going. Well, he's got to just be with me. Remember, our focus is presence. If we're in his presence, it doesn't matter where we go. And it doesn't matter where he goes because we're with him. Does anybody, does this help us? Okay. And then he says, no man comes unto the Father but by me, and he's given us a hand. He says, I'm going to the Father, is what he's basically saying. But nobody can get there except by me. You need to be with me. That's why they named that street sign one way, because Jesus, there's no way that the Father but Jesus. He said, if you had known me, experienced me, believed in me, trusted in me, fellowship with me, moved in what I told you. Then you should have known my Father also. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. He's given us something here. He and the Father are one. And from henceforth, from now on, you know him and have seen him. Can't wait until Jehovah's Witness comes to my door again so I can draw this chapter. Just can't wait. I'm serious. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, another disciple, the other one was Thomas, verse 5. Now verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it'll be enough. It sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Show us the Father. I have been with you. Do you not know me? What do you mean, show us the Father? And then he says, confirming it again. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has seen me, known me, experienced me, perceived me, believed on me, has seen the Father. How do you say then, show us the Father? He said, do you realize what you're saying? Excuse me, do you realize what you're saying? Verse 10, believest thou not? Remember what he said to the disciples? thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? He said, do you believe it? Do you understand? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. We ask God to guide our word when we're talking to other people, don't we? What if we had more of His word inside of us? That's what I'm talking about memorizing. Now maybe you're not going to get a word perfect. And maybe you're going to be like my wife, you can't remember the address. You may not need to know the address. But you can quote the verse. My wife can quote tons of verses. She doesn't remember where they are. But if you have a concordance for that, you can go look it up. Maybe that'll help somebody go look it up instead of just getting regurgitated word like a cow, you know? Anyway, look that up. Alright. He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. He said, the words that I speak, the Father does the works. The words are action words, are faith words. Faith word, faith is always an action. Moving on what God says. Believing and then moving on what God says. He said, the words that I speak in you, He says, I am the Father, the Father's in me. Do you believe this? The words that I speak into you, I don't speak of myself. I didn't come up with this. I'm here and only say what I hear the Father say. You ask me things, we run into things, and I'm like, Father? And then He tells me, He moves on me, He brings my, draws my attention up, and then I speak it. That's exactly what we do. Led of the Spirit. The Father does the works. There is nothing wrong with works. We all ought to have works. I was very, Sue and I both confident that the people that came yesterday from our church when the open house was done, they all, we didn't expect it, but everybody from our church just pitched in and helped clean everything up and put everything back the way it was. And I appreciate that so much. Works are good. We don't trust in our works to get us to heaven. We do the works because God's living in us, and that's what God needs to do. We need to be faithful. We need to do our duty. There's things that are our duty to do. But we don't go to heaven because of what we do or don't do. We go to heaven. That's an invitation from God through the blood of Jesus. We go to heaven because He took what we deserved that prevented us from going there. Verse 11, Jesus says, believe me. He says, look, I've been telling you that I'm in the Father and the Father and I are one. He said, believe me that I am in the Father. And the Father is in me. Or else, at least believe me for the very work's sake. All these things you see me do, realize I am 100% man like you. It's the Father that's working through me. And He goes on to say in the next verse, he that believes on me, he that trusts on me, he that's going to take what I'm saying and run with it. The works that I do, shall he do also. He said, I'm telling you, I'm just 100% man just like you are. The same works that I'm doing, the people that believe on me, they're going to do also. And even greater works. Why? Because I go into my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son are glorified through me. We want the Father to be glorified through us, right?
Yes.
If you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said the reason the Father will listen is because you're coming His, God's way, which is Jesus. Remember the straight side, one way? Jesus broke down the wall of partition between us and God. Jesus broke down the enmity, removed the enmity, the animosity, and what was in the way between us and God and kept us from that. That's why we always pray through Jesus. It doesn't mean just add on in Jesus' name. It's not magic words. It's understanding. It's talking to Jesus throughout it. I was praying the other day with a Christian somewhere, and because I didn't put the magic words, I think, because I didn't put the magic words in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer, as soon as I got to praying, they went, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm not offended or anything, and I used to do that, because in the beginning that's where I started. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But it's not saying magic words. It's not adding that assurance. What gets our prayer answered is when we ask in faith. What gets our prayer answered is we come to God the Father by the leading and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But we come through the merits, the works of Jesus. We're praying to the Father by the Spirit through the Son. He is what gets us access to the Father. Hebrews 4:16, we come boldly under the throne of grace. But it's because of what Jesus did. And He says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, where was that verse? Where was that word? He says, since I am going away, I'm sorry, I didn't read the verse, so I guess I better read it. Verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. By the way, verse 15, he says, that's not where I had it. Stop you where I had it, where did I have it? Yeah. I just said of what I can remember. That word keep. Where was that? I'm sorry, in my notes. Oh, here it is. Yep. It's a watch. Like if you love me. Watch my commandments, like not on my watch, that kind of watch. Like keep a watch on those commandments. Okay, let the commandments be your watch. Okay? To guard. If you love me, guard my commandments. It means to guard them from loss or injury. So whatever it is Jesus says, we want to guard it from loss or injury. We want everything to be fulfilled. Everything to be lived out the way He wants. His perfect life. His ways are perfect, correct?
Yes.
His thoughts are perfect. His timing is perfect. For everything to be His way, we need to guard it. But how do we do that? Keeping an eye upon the commandments. A brother told me this week, he said, I find my life is so much better and I get in less trouble because I keep my mouth shut. I slow down. I wait. He He said, before I had to just report, just a quick quip to everybody. I had to say some words. Smart mouth. Blip, blip, blip. I'm like, dude, why are you confessing what I am to me? See, I resemble that. That's been my life. Whenever somebody says that, I have to say something. The Bible calls it answering again. It's being smart mouth. It's being what are those other words?
Smart aleck.
Yeah, smart aleck. There's a word I'm looking for, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. We need to keep an eye. What God has done with this brother and myself has helped us to realize. My dad used to say when I was a teenager, he used to say, son, put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in motion. And I just did not, I was so blown out. My heart wasn't after God, didn't understand God, God's ways and thoughts. So I'm going to be funny. I'm going to be smart at it. I'm going to be sarcastic. Because it's funny. It normally hurts somebody for me to be funny. Okay? Everybody might be laughing, but not the person that you're being sarcastic to. They're being hurt.
They may kind of laugh on the outside, but on the inside,
right? And now you're just staring at somebody, and that's not like Jesus. And we want to be like Jesus. So one thing we need to do is slow down to, if you love me, I don't need lip service. If you love me, show it by guarding my commandments. And what's commandments? Love God, and then love others. Like you love yourself. You don't want somebody to be sarcastic to you. You don't want somebody to belittle you. Yesterday, there were some people that were sarcastic and toward me and making jokes toward me, and everybody in the room was laughing at me. It didn't make me feel good at one point of the day. I didn't get mad at anybody. I didn't really get hurt, but it was drawn to my attention because I'm normally one who's being sarcastic. I'm normally one bringing humor into something. And, well, I don't mean it. Well, I'm not trying to hurt them. Well, I make all these excuses and I say things, but they're not laughing. They're getting hurt. And everybody else is laughing, but it's not okay. Because it's not Jesus. We say we want to live Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Guard my commandments. How would Jesus live or respond in this situation? Doing what's true love is doing what's best for another. We're not doing what's best for another if we're making everybody laugh at them. Putting them down, putting them in their place. Okay? So, then he says, since I am going away, I'm sorry, verse 16 and 3, but I hadn't read it yet. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We're going to stop there, but we're going to talk about it. Jesus said, since I'm going away, now watch this. Jesus is talking to his closest friends. Hey guys, I don't want you to be troubled. You believe in God? You can believe in me. My Father's house is many mansions. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. If it were different now, I'd let you know. And where I go, you know. The way you know. I'm one with the Father, and He's one with me, and now you're going to be one with us. All you got to do is be with me. Your focus, my presence. He says, now since I'm going away, now watch this. Okay, picture. Jesus is standing there physically. You've been hanging out with Him for a little over 3 years. You don't ever want to believe. Have you tasted of Jesus? Do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want to believe Him?
No.
Oh. And you haven't seen Him physically, and these men did. And He says, I'm going to leave. And they're like, no. We didn't know what life was about until you came into our life. And you're like, nobody talks like you. Nobody thinks like you. Nobody's treated us like you. No. Don't leave. Did we do something wrong? And Jesus goes, don't let your heart be troubled. And watch what He says. Since I am going away, I will ask my Father, and He shall give you another comforter. But this comforter is going to stay with you forever. Continually be with you and never leave. And then He says in verse 17, He is the Spirit of truth, whom the majority of people cannot receive. Says whom the world cannot receive. So I'm saying it this way, whom the majority of people cannot receive because, number one, He is the Spirit of truth. You know what Amos 3:3 says? Can't two walk together except they be agreed? He said, the majority of people cannot receive Him because He is the Spirit of truth. They don't want truth. So now we're going to ask ourselves some questions. Are you ready? Are we honest? Do we really want truth? Now here's a note. How do we discern if we're honest and want truth? Because everybody in this room would say, I'm honest and I want truth. Are you willing to take a test for yourself to find out if you're really honest or if you're just deceiving yourself and thinking you're honest? So answer these questions. Are we at peace within ourselves? Are we at peace with God? What makes us get angry so quickly? Are there questions or issues that we're not willing to consider? Our God wants to bring us into the way we would deal with this issue. I'm sorry. Our God wants to bring us into the way He would deal with this issue. He wants us to have His heart truly inside of us. That's what we want, right? But we don't deal with everything the way He does, do we?
No.
Do we? So to be honest and to want truth means I'm willing to look at those things where I'm not in oneness with God. I don't respond like Jesus does. I'm not treating people. I'm not thinking about people. I find myself judging them and condemning them and getting mad at them and wishing that slow boat would get off the road. I had to wear shoes today because I knew I was going to be stepped on my feet. Okay.
I should have put them on, didn't
you? Yeah. Our God wants to give us what we're asking for.
Yes.
He wants to bring us into the way He would deal with this issue. He wants us to have His heart truly inside of us. Remember that our God is very kind and compassionate. He will deal very gently in our lives, one issue at a time. He is the healer, the wonderful counselor. God, this is true in my life, but I don't want it to be true. I want your truth in my life instead. I want the way you would live and the way you would think inside of me. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the majority of people cannot receive. Why? Because he is the Spirit of truth. And a lot of people don't want truth. Number two, why can the majority of people not receive the Holy Spirit? Yes, he's the Spirit of truth. Number two, because they don't see nor understand his ways. His ways don't make sense to them, nor the way he thinks. So they cannot discern nor perceive what he says or does. That doesn't make sense. But I think, well, what about this? What about? But what is God's ways? They cannot receive the Spirit of the majority of people. Because they're not really honest with themselves, nor God, nor others. Number two, they don't see nor understand the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth's ways. His ways don't make sense to them. The way he thinks does not make sense to them. They can't discern what he says. They cannot perceive or understand what he does. God's ways don't make sense to them. So therefore, they don't walk in his ways. And because of that, they cannot fellowship with him. Number three, why do the majority of people not receive the Spirit of truth? Because they don't know him. Because there's no fellowship with him, which is getting to know him. To get to know somebody, you have to hang out with them. In Amos 3:3, how can you hang out with somebody that you don't believe like? How can two walk together except they be in agreement? If one person wants to go north, the other wants to go south, and since God's way is always perfect, that means we need to leave our way and go his way.
East.
You know?
Right.
There are two spirits. There is a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. I think, where is that going to see? You'll find that in 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wow. I've got one question. What?
What was
it? 1 John 4:6. I've got about 15 more verses, but if you want it, but that's enough.
So the disciples didn't have the Holy Spirit in them until Jesus was almost ready to go to the Son.
Nope, they didn't have the Holy Spirit until Jesus rose from the dead. Yes. Because God was manifesting himself on the earth as Jesus. When he left, then the Holy Spirit, God can manifest himself as the Holy Spirit. Before he manifested himself as the Father, Father God, to the world, but they really were only perceiving him as Lord, or Creator, or the King, the Almighty. And so they were just afraid of him. They were knowing him far off. earthquake. We'll stay here, but you can come back and let us know what he's got to say, but we're afraid to go up there. So they didn't really, they knew him afar off. So God came to earth as a man so we could know him up close and personal. And it's real easy for Christians to believe in Jesus, because to become a Christian, to come to God, Jesus just told us earlier in this chapter, no man comes unto the Father but by me. So the only way, in John chapter 10, he said, I am the door. So to come into the sheepfold, to become a little sheep, you gotta come through Jesus. God in the flesh. So you come to Jesus, you meet Jesus, and then when you meet Jesus, Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, which is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He said, I can. That's how you know somebody's a believer. It's the Spirit of them, not their words. There's many people that have the right words, but there's no Spirit bearing witness in them. That's why Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says that if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of this. Do you, Acts 19:2, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God had me preach that as a title of a sermon I would preach in Baptist churches all over America to introduce Baptists to the Holy Spirit. Because Baptists and a lot of people have problems with the Holy Spirit. Because they believe in them in a doctrinal way, in a teaching way, because it's in the Bible. But they don't believe them in an experiential way. And a lot of them are even afraid of them in that way because of what they've seen with people that say they're spirit filled, that a lot of their talking and a lot of their actions don't line up with the word. They're flaky. Because they say they're following the Spirit, but it doesn't line up with the Word. And God is one. And the Word, the Holy Spirit, doesn't lead outside the Word. Now we may not understand, like when God told me, I couldn't go to church for a while, for a season. At first I couldn't. That's not the Bible, God, how is this to you? And then I found out, 1 Kings 19, where did Elijah come from? When John the Baptist was preaching, it says they went out in the wilderness for to see. He wasn't going to a church. Jesus, when he was 40 days in the wilderness of that temptation, then out in the desert, where was he going to church? Paul, 3 years or 14 years, whatever it was, where he was out in the Arabian desert, what church was he going to? Okay? You see, there's all these examples, but we don't, because God works in our lives in seasons, but he has principles. And we need to be connected. But God may, after somebody's been connected, lead them to be separate for a season while he's doing a work inside of them. But the person would have a desire to be in church. And so he said, well, I'm just doing what Brother Harvey talked about. Like, but are you willing? Do you want to go to church? No. You know, they're going for a whole different reason. They got hurt, damaged, sheep bite, whatever, you know. And then got their focus on the ways instead of on Jesus. They put expectation in people. They have the wrong God, they have the lower G God. They need to get their eyes on the bigger G God, because he won't let them down. And he's real, and he's true, and he's faithful. And all the rest of us are just, we're in process. That's why a church is a hospital for sinners. You don't go to the hospital and expect the patients to help you. Why do you go to church and help? Expect the patients to help you. You go to church because it's the house of God. You go there for God. It's all simple. We complicate it.
Yes.
So we can fit our lives, you know, fit it into our lives, all that believing. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. He says, when I leave, okay, and by the way, Roxanne, in John chapter 7, verses 38, 39, he says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Let's go there. John chapter 7, verse 38. He that believeth upon me, and the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. That teaches what you ask of when the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers. Okay? Make sense? So here's Jesus talking to his dear friends. Hey guys, I'm getting ready to go on a trip. I don't want you to be afraid. You believe in God, I believe also in me, I'll take care of you. But in fact, I'm going to go, you know where I'm going? I'm going to prepare a place for you. So you can live in my Father's house. Have your own place, your own mansion. And you know where I'm going in the way to go. Where are you going, Jesus? I just told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. What's the way? I'm the way. Your focus needs to be my presence. Do you see? He's talking to his dear, closest friends. Is that not a reason? Is he talking to you? Is he talking to you? And then he says, I and my Father are one. He says, I want you to know that. He says, I told you that back in John chapter 10. I and my Father are one. I think it's verse 30. He says, if you see me, you see the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. I am God. I'm God in body. Wonder how the wind stopped? I'm the one who invented the wind. You wonder how the wave stopped? I'm the one who invented the water. He said, I use all these things in your life as object lessons to bring you the truth. Are you hearing all this? He says, do you know me? Do you not believe? What do you believe? Do you believe I'm the Father? Do you believe that I am the Father and the Father's in me? He says, I want you to be right with us, right where we are. That's my intention. That's my desire. For your focus to be my presence. I want your presence to be in my presence. I want you to be my best friend. I want you to hang out with me. Because the same things I'm doing here in this body, you can do. And even bigger things. You didn't know where I was going, but I'm going to the Father. Because I'm going to ask my Father to do these things in you. Ask him if you want. He says that if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, because you want to stay in my presence, then you need to stay in my way of doing things. Yes, that may mean you need to shut your mouth. That may mean you need to slow down before you just spurt out all this stuff that hurts people to make you look funny and feel good. He said, but don't worry. He said, I love you at whatever level you're at. Wherever you're at, he said, wherever you are so far, he said, it's okay. You're my best friend. I'm drawing you closer. He said, but You get to choose how close you want to be. And he goes, and get this. I'm going to ask my Father to give you another comforter so you'll never be alone. I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone. Hear that? I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone. And he says, you and I are hanging out, like Glenn and I hanging out. He said, but the one you're not going to be alone with anymore. He said, when I leave physically, I'm going to come live inside of you spiritually. When I leave you physically, I'm going to come live inside of you. He said, right now, if I send a couple of guys off to go prepare the upper room and a couple over here to go get donkey, he said, physically, I can't be with all of you. He said, but I'm going to do one better. I'm going to let come live inside of you.
Sure.
And it's going to be the Spirit of Truth. And guess what? And most people are not going to receive the Spirit of Truth. Because first of all, they're not honest with the truth. Jesus is the truth. Remember the saying? If we reject the truth, we're going to believe lies, live lies, and tell lies. Jesus is the truth. What are they doing with Jesus? So number one, who is Jesus to you? That's why I like to ask people that all the time. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he God in the flesh, or you just think he's a good teacher, he's a good example? I heard somebody this week tell me all those things. He was just a good example, like Buddha or others, and it's just a good example. Like, you know, like Obama, they said. I'm like, what? He's just a good example. Because if you don't believe he's God in the flesh, you won't believe in him as your Savior. Who is Jesus to you? And number two, did you need him to die on the cross for you personally? Who do you think Jesus is, and did you need him to die on the cross for you personally? I love to ask those two questions to people. They just leave them with them. Don't answer me. Just who do you think this me? My phone. Somebody's trying to call. You know? Somebody in church tried to call me. Okay. Yeah. Quit.
That's nice.
It says, Spirit of Truth. It says, most people cannot receive him.
Most.
This is because they don't see him. They don't understand his ways. They don't understand what he's doing. They can't recognize him. People just think you're weird. Because they serve a whole different master. They belong to a different kingdom. That's why God says, don't try to understand evil. Don't try to understand evil. It will take you somewhere you wish you had not gone. Don't try to understand it. Okay? And that doesn't mean we're condemning everybody. What that means is, no, that's not the way of God. Therefore, it's evil. If it's not the way of truth, it's the way of a lie. If it's not the way of light, it's the way of darkness. You know, when it's black and white. Okay, anything not of God is evil. If I reject him, if I resist him, I'm being evil. Right? I'm in agreement with evil. You understand?
Yes.
Don't try to understand evil. You're not going to understand why people do what they do and say what they say and vote the way they vote. I don't get it. Because it's evil. God says, don't try to understand evil. Exactly.
Would you say that?
It's either unrighteous or unrighteous.
It says the majority of people cannot receive the Spirit of Truth. They don't see him. They don't know him. He says, but you know him. As soon as I met Jesus as a drug dealer, I met Jesus. As soon as I met him, the Holy Spirit started talking. not like I heard voices, but this thought kept coming at me. It was almost like a voice, like somebody talking to me. That's what God's talking about. And when I couldn't fight the voice behind chairs and doors and couches, but the voice kept trying to talk to me, I finally realized that voice was coming from inside of me. But nobody taught me this. It wasn't in church. I got saved, but I didn't get in church for 10 months and 3 days. Nobody taught me. That's what it says over in 1 John 2:27. You need not that any man teach you. John 16:13. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. If somebody is here, they're going to make themselves known. And he was living inside me. And I figured out his voice was coming from inside me. In verse 17, it says, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you right now while I'm here in the flesh, Jesus said. He dwelleth with you. He said, but when I leave, he's going to be in. Now, the Old Testament, he didn't live inside of people. But he came upon them as they cooperated with God to do what God wanted done. God empowered them with his Spirit. That's why people did all these magnificent exploits and stood for God in them, because they chose God. So God empowered them. But it was like he came upon them. That's why you find in Psalm 51, David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because he had had the Holy Spirit come upon him. But he wasn't there all the time. We have much better than they had in the Old Testament. There's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. Jesus is talking here to his dear friends. Don't need to be afraid. I'm going to go prepare a special place for you in my Father's house. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. You know where I'm going. You know how to get there, because I'm the way. I and my Father are one, and we want you to be one with us. What an invitation, by the way. What an invitation. Almighty God saying, I want you to come be one with me. Would you like to receive my invitation? That's where he's wanting to bring us. We live there a whole lot more than we used to, right?
Amen.
Well, he wants us to learn to abide. The next chapter talks about abiding in him. But we can't get to 15 without going through 14. And 14, we got to believe in him. Trust in him. Know his intimate and deep thoughts and care toward us. Believing that. So that when we're going through our troubles, we're not focused on the troubles. We're focused on Jesus. We're trusting in him. We're believing that God is for us, not against us. We're believing that he will take us through it, not leave us in it. Our focus is Jesus every day as we go through life, keeping our focus on him. If you love me, he says, since you love me, guard. Keep your eye on my commandments. Slow down. What would Jesus do here? What would you have me to do? Jesus, no, I don't think I had to do that. I can't see Jesus talking like that. No, I can't see Jesus living like that. Slowing down. Moving in God. Focus. like the sister said, can you imagine living in that manifest presence? That's what he's saying to his friends there. Hey guys, I'm leaving you physically, but I'm going to come live inside of you spiritually. And he's like, and I'm going to ask the Father to give you another comforter, which is the Spirit of Truth, because you can receive it because you want the truth. He said, but many people around you don't want the truth. So they don't know the Spirit of Truth yet. That's why you've always got to bring them to Jesus. We don't need to be talking about the Father. We don't need to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We need to be talking to them about Jesus. We're not going to get them to God except through Jesus.
Amen.
Who is Jesus to you? And listen to what their answers are to what I'm discussing. If they don't see Jesus as God in the flesh, we need to take them there. We need to show it to them in the scripture. We're not arguing or persuading people. And then number two, did you personally need Jesus to die on that cross for you? Jesus cares about you. Do you believe that? Can you see how he's taking care of his friends there? Can you, in these verses? Can you see how he's caring? I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going away, but it's only going to prepare a place for you. Because when I come back, I'm going to receive you in myself, that where I am, there you may be. Is that what you want to be what Jesus says?
Yes.
I commit this into your hands. And I say thank you for your deep love and concern and care for us. I'm just so amazed. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I want to believe in you more. I want to believe in your love for me. I want to realize your love is unconditional. Just meditate on that. Your love is eternal. It never quits. Your love is unconditional. Thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome.